The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Videos of far-right agitators threatening and attacking homeless asylum seekers are being boosted by social media algorithms. That's according to a snapshot study from the Hope and Courage Collective. Niamh McDonald is Director of Community Engagement for the Hope and Courage Collective. Joins me now, and Jess Kelly is also joining me in studio. But first of all, Niamh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. What is the Hope and Courage Collective?
Well, we're a broad-based civil society organisation that supports communities, structures, institutions to understand how to respond to hate and division while looking at through community response, democracy and the role that social media plays in amplifying hate.
Now, let's talk about the experiment, if that's what we might call it, that snapshot study from your Absolutely. Collective. What exactly did you do?
December 2023, there's been a policy by the government not to accommodate mainly men seeking asylum in Ireland, and they're being given a tent and told to camp. So since January of 2024, we have seen kind of prominent far-right actors and influencers down at these camps and amplifying content that kind of dehumanizes and drives hate. So we've seen this grow over the last 18 months, and we've seen kind of copycat tactics happening. So what we saw from the 3rd to the 13th of July was someone who we hadn't really seen before online copying these tactics. So we documented that and placed an analysis on that, and was basically through TikTok, and how through the increase of this person going to the IPAS building in Dublin 2, filming people outside, then filming people seeking asylum who were homeless with their tents, and how it culminated into attacks on tents 10 days later and slashing of the tents. And then the day after that, other homeless people seeking asylum, they had their tents attacked and were threatened with attacks from dogs and to be burnt out of it.
Yes. Now, you've managed to actually track, you know, the initial posting to its ultimate audience. How many people did the original video, when posted, you know, just by one person, how much amplification did it get? How many people did it reach?
So initially, one of the first videos got less than 2,000, right? And that was on the 5th. But by the 12th, he'd got 100. And so just the day before the slashing, he got 124,000 views. So that was a massive amplification. So the more we could see building up from less than 2,000, then 3,000, then 30,000, and then 124,000, which was quite a serious climb. So the more that he kind of engaged with people seeking asylum, followed them, threatened them, used dehumanized language, and also kind of like revealed where they were going and what they were doing, the more that he was kind of enticed to do it, by the more engagement and amplification that he got, you know. So it was quite worrying, to be honest with you. So we could see a key where, you know, that the kind of this algorithm is kind of driving hate and driving kind of violence in our communities.
Yeah. Now, people are getting this stuff even when they don't really want it. It's not their view because of maybe something that they looked at randomly, and that identified them as someone who might have a particular political view. And then this stuff is dumped on them.
Absolutely. Like, it's these kind of, we call them like, there's a kind of toxic recommender systems. So they recommend content to you. One of the kind of best ways. So if you look up like a new pair of shoes or a holiday online pass, then suddenly you go onto your Insta, your Facebook or your TikTok, you will get recommended content for those things that you looked up or that you bought. So sometimes you might click on something that is maybe violent or far right, and then suddenly you're in this, what we would call this river of hate. So this content is constantly recommended to you. And sometimes it just comes up on your feeds. So we are saying that, you know, that if it wasn't for the amplification of this content, we feel that there wouldn't be such a turn to violence in our communities, you know.
Okay, who do you want to act and what do you want them to do?
Well, there's two things. First of all, is we have a group of kind of people who are quite vulnerable, who come here seeking safety and are given a tent, and two arms of the state are part of this. One arm of the state is giving them a tent and told to camp, and the other arm of the state is the police and moving them on constantly. So they are not safe, they are not secure, and they need proper accommodation. So first of all, like, the Minister for Justice needs to ensure that all people who are seeking asylum have a safe bed and somewhere safe to sleep at night. We feel that's extraordinarily important. And also there needs to be consequences for people who are filming content and invoking violence online, which is turning into real world violence. That's under all of the remit of the Minister for Justice. Then secondly, we want to go to kind of Michael McGrath, who's the EU Commissioner for Ireland at the moment, and one of his portfolios is democracy, and he's developing a democracy shield at the moment, and it is within his gift to turn off the toxic recommender systems. And studies have shown across Europe that the majority of people under 30 are getting a lot of their political content amplified on social media, so we can see it's directly affecting our democracy, what content is amplified, and it's in the arms of a very small group of people, of oligarchs past internationally, who are controlling this.
You're going down a dangerous road. For example, if I'm a climate change activist and I really want to save the planet, you know, I log on to, you know, melting snow in the Arctic or whatever, and then I get the plight of the polar bears or the extinction of penguins in a particular place. Maybe I want that information. You know, that's why I go on those kind of sites.
Yeah. We're not talking about not being able to choose, Pat. We're talking about hateful content landed on your feed.
No, but what about benign choice, benign content landing on my feed?
Hang on, Pat. Everyone has agency and can look for what they want. This is not about denying people for what they want. People can post online. It's about the amplification of that post. It's very different.
Yeah. No, right? But I'm saying I might want as much green stuff about the environment amplified for me, because I, you know, trying to find it is one thing. If the internet will find it for me, I might want it recommending to me all the stuff about saving the planet. So if you turn off the recommender ecosystem, if you like, it will also affect people who want good stuff. And we'll talk to Jess Kelly about all of that in a moment.
Yeah, well, I don't fully agree with you there, Pat, because if you want content, you want to look at saving the planet, you can go into Google and you can do that. You can go on to Instagram and you can, and nobody is stopping that, Pat. But what I'm saying is nobody has a right for hate content just to be landed into your feed.
All right, Jess Kelly is listening.
And we can see that this hate content is affecting our communities.
Yes. Yeah, I think what's really interesting is I completely get the point that you're making, and the way the internet works, the way algorithms work, the way everything from back in my day on Bebo worked was you were served content that you're interested in. They got to know you. They got to like your interests, your hobbies, your friends, and you built a community. The content came to you. I think if we shift that model entirely, the engagement won't be there. It won't be the same. It won't be a good experience. I think what needs to change is how the platforms assess content that is on there. We know that when Elon Musk took over Twitter and turned it into X, he got rid of the trust and safety teams. They changed the reporting mechanisms in terms of harmful content. So if I reported something that I found either offensive, defamatory, inciting hatred, whatever it may be, the actions from my report didn't follow through to the same extent as before. Now, we know under the digital, the Online Safety Act and the Digital Safety Act as well, there are now certain requirements for the platforms to take action. I don't see evidence of that having happened as of yet, but it does come back to the platforms. We know that these platforms have more control and more power than they're currently taking action on when it comes to harmful content. We know that they have very powerful AI at their disposal. Look at Grok that Elon Musk has invested megabucks into. There's nothing to say that, and I've mentioned this point before, 15 seconds before a post goes live, an AI could creepy crawl across it and assess if something is inciting hatred, if someone is being abused, misused, or whatever it may be. And that content then gets flagged for human intervention. And then a human can decide, well, actually, it's in the public interest, so it should be out there, or this is incitement to hatred and it should be taken down. There's an awful lot more that can be done. Amnesty International recently published a technical analysis of the open source code that X uses. So this is essentially how they work. They're looking behind under the bonnet of X, right? And what they have found is that the recommender system, so it's the content algorithm that drives the For You page, and this is their words, systematically prioritizes content that sparks outrage, provokes heated exchanges, reactions, and engagement without adequate safeguards to prevent or mitigate harm. Now, that is incredibly damning.
That's where we need to go.
It's all down to the systems. I have interviewed executives from all of the big social media platforms over my career, and never once has anyone given any proper insight into how the algorithms work. I spoke to Meta not that long ago about the changes that they made on their teen accounts. So, for example, if you're someone who's aged 14 and you're on Instagram, Meta will know you're 14 and they will not show you content relating to self-harm or suicide. They will not show you content in relating to eating disorders or anything like that. And that to me screams that they have the capability to filter content. So this, I completely understand that we need systems in place and we need consequences, but we also need to push back on these platforms and get them to take some of the responsibility here, because them assessing content, and again, I've gone through the open source stuff from X here to see how they understand what tweets get the kind of acceleration that we've just heard about there. And it's all about what drives engagement. And we know from Frances Haugen, who was the whistleblower at Facebook, at Meta, excuse me, she said that, you know, evidence was brought to senior executives at Meta. They saw, understood and accepted that harmful content drove engagement. Therefore, that's what we saw more of.
All right. So back to you.
Yeah, well, I think a recent, look, I'm not disagreeing, but that these toxic recommender systems are, and we also know that they have reduced the trust and safety teams, but also like a secret, a recent second secret meta studies concluded that moderation at that scale is impossible. Right.
And but that's why you use AI as a first instance.
Yeah, just if you can. Yeah. But I also, we can never remove everything that's harmful from a communications medium use. So we have to stop the magnification of the harmful content and giving it unnatural distribution. So we really need to turn off the toxic recommender systems until we know that they're safe. Because right now they're not safe.
All right,
and we
Niamh,
need to prove. And you're just say one last thing. The social media companies have proven that they are not to be trusted, and they are not responsible up to now. And we need brave political leadership in order to show that.
All right, Niamh McDonald, thank you very much. Last words to you, Jess.
Yeah, look, I'm optimistic that things can be done. I do think you're absolutely right. We do need strong political leadership. We also need a joined up approach, a global approach to tackling these big tech companies. This is something that Joe Biden, in particular, was very strong about before he became the president. Unfortunately, a lot of that action didn't transpire when he was in the White House. But at the moment, it feels like things have rolled backwards. And I think the damaging consequences, not only to vulnerable groups, but anybody who's using the internet, is massively consequential. And the only way it's going to get fixed is if the tech companies buy into the fact that something
also
needs to be done.
The transparency we need. For example, you talked about AI crawling across every post before, 15 seconds before it's posted. That's technically possible. We know the power of AI and all the data centers that are fueling it. But then you get someone like Musk who instructs his algorithm, if you see vote Kamala Harris,
downgrade it or whatever it is.
Yeah, downgrade it. If you see vote Trump, amplify that. You know, so you really need to see how a transparent approach to the mechanism of the algorithm.
Yeah, and this is where it's massively problematic. But again, to give another very practical example, I'm in the middle of editing my show. It'll be available shortly if you want to get it. But if I put a song in the Tech Talk podcast, if I get a 3-minute song and I put it in the Tech Talk podcast, what'll happen is AI will crawl across it and it'll say, for copyright reasons, you can't use that, you have to take it down. That's how sophisticated the music industry is now. They, for copyright reasons, don't want me putting out full songs in my podcast, so it gets taken down. That's one teeny tiny example of how this technology could work. There has to be the will and the want. At the moment, it serves the bottom line of the big tech companies to allow these very heated, hateful conversations to go online. So the ball is very much in their court and we have to call for change.
Jess Kelly, a News Talk's tech correspondent, and before that, Niamh McDonald, Director of Community Engagement for the Hope and Courage Collective. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.